Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Janine, roll call.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Mellow.
Here.
Commissioner Veal.
Here.
Chair Fowle.
Present.
Commissioner Lindler is absent today.
All right, we are going to dispense with the March 20 minutes as we do not have a quorum to approve those minutes since Ms. Lindler is not here, but I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of February 21st.
Also move.
Commissioner Veal moves. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Hart seconds. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Let the record show. Minutes are approved. Any conflicts of interest to declare? Seeing none. In the packet for today, you can see the directions for presentation of documents, the availability of public records. Quickly run down the protocol. I will introduce the item. There'll be a staff report. Correspondence will be submitted. There'll be additional reports. I will then see if commissioners have any questions of staff. I'll open the public hearing. Proponents, opponents, and other public comments have an opportunity to speak. There is a chance for the proponent to rebut. After all testimony has been given, I will close the hearing. We'll discuss the matter and decide what action to take. Right of appeal statement, projects heard at this commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 days of today's meeting. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals need to be submitted to the county clerk together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review of the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Do we have a request by staff or commissioners for any changes to the agenda? Seeing none, move into new business. Agenda item one, the Peterson use permit, UP2402. Lead on this is Bernadette. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, associate planner. This use permit project proposes to convert an existing single-family dwelling at 2400 Pine Grove Drive, west of the city of Mount Shasta and within its sphere of influence, into a vacation rental. The approximately 1,300 square foot single-story house is located on a 2.5 acre parcel that is zoned for rural residential uses. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area and was inspected by Building and Environmental Health on March 7th, 2024 and November 9th, 2023, respectively. Four parking spaces are required for this project and there's adequate space on the driveway. Three bedrooms are proposed as sleeping quarters. Based on the square footage of the rooms, up to 10 guests could be accommodated. However, the septic design capacity is limited to 8 persons. Therefore, the maximum occupancy is limited to 8 persons. This project is exempt from CEQA per section 15301 as it is an existing facility and there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. Three public comments and additional information provided by the applicant were received after the staff report had been prepared and copies have been provided to you. Two comments submitted by nearby property owners are opposed to the project. One comment submitted by the proposed vacation rental manager is in support of the project. The applicant is present to respond to comments. Staff recommends adopting the categorical exemption and approving the use permit for this project. There is a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments from staff. Oh, okay. I felt your eye, the eye contact, and I'm like, oh boy, we've got a
I took my glasses off and was testing there.
Any questions for Bernadette by the commission?
No.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. First, project proponent, anything additional to add to the staff report? You don't have to add, but if you do, you're welcome to come forward.
Thank you. My name is Tricia Peterson. I'm one of the owners of 2400 Pine.
Could you state your address for the record?
Yeah.
It will be included in the minutes.
Yeah. 2400 Pine Grove Drive, Mount Shasta. I'm one of the owners of the property in question. Thank you for letting me speak today. Just to talk briefly about the vision for the property and the various concerns raised by our neighbors. I want to share a little bit about who we are and who we aren't based on some of the concerns that were raised by the neighbors. Johanna Ray and I are not property investors. We are future county residents. Johanna Ray is a massage therapist and energy medicine practitioner who owns a wellness center in New York State. She plans to move that center to Mount Shasta when we're able to move here permanently. I am a forensic psychologist in New York State. I am private practice and have already secured my California license, and I'm already taking contracts in California in preparation for our move here eventually. Although we currently live in New York State, we are not city people. We both grew up in small rural areas, which is one of the reasons we fell in love with Mount Shasta and plan to move here in the future. This property was good and bad timing for us. We found the property that we wanted before we were able to move due to family medical concerns. So the short-term rental option is to allow us to continue to make upgrades to the property while we're preparing to move here. We are not absentee property owners, as one of the comments suggested. We come out to the property 3 to 5 times a year, and we've made numerous upgrades to the property over the last 2 years, including water supply, electrical, septic, heating and cooling. We added a whole house generator using Blue Star gas. The renovations we've made have been with local contractors. We've purchased supplies and furnishings locally. The home was furnished almost entirely from Ron's Furniture in Mount Shasta. Flooring from ECI Flooring. So we're not trying to, I guess I should say, we're trying to support the local community in what we're doing. And we understand the value of local providers and local businesses. We have additional upgrades planned to the property. We currently have an approved permit to add another bedroom and 2 bathrooms to the main home, so it would end up being 4 bed and 3 bath at some point when we can move forward with that with the contractor. Longer term vision is to renovate the ADU, which yes, currently is in disrepair and is fully locked with signage to deter anyone from entering that.
Recording in progress.
And is it has cameras on the property to assure that there aren't people just trespassing and wandering around. We maintain awareness of what's happening in the community and our property. We have, like I said, cameras on the property. We have friends, our contractor, and our property manager who are at the property. One of them is at the property at least twice a week. Doing various things for property maintenance and management. You know, we worked with CAL FIRE to bring the property up to fire readiness. And we do have people available for 24-hour contact if there is a concern with the property. In terms of awareness of what's happening in the community, we do that by social media. We're members of the Siskiyou County Grapevine, the Mount Shasta Neighborhood Watch. You know, we have watch duty. We're on Dunsmuir Fire Watch. So we are aware of what's happening, even if we're not physically here to see it on a day-by-day basis. to specifically address the concerns noted by the neighbors. The garbage will not be left out unattended for days at a time for bears to come into the property. You know, we will properly manage the garbage, and we have a plan in place to do so. We are not intending to go above 8 people, and frankly, currently with a 3-bed, 1-bath, we're not intending to have 8 people there. That's too many people at one time. But once we have the additional bedroom and the additional bathrooms, 8 people would be comfortable in that place. And the last concern was that we may rent to anyone passing through, and that's simply not true either. With the short-term rental, we have the ability to vet potential renters through the app. There are comments and feedback from prior owners who have rented to people. There's an ability to limit who stays based on how many days they can stay at a time and not allowing parties. And there's things you can do to weed out, you know, sort of the loud, ruckus people who would stay there. This is going to be our home. We don't want to damage either. So it's not about just getting people in. It's about having some income to help with our renovations until we move here. Overall, I hope that this information helps address some of those concerns and to understand that we're not the typical out-of-state investor people that may be buying up multiple properties and then ignoring them. We're very much invested in making this a success. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. That's for the next project. And that takes care of Tricia. Okay. Anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to the project? Let the record show no opposition present. Therefore, no rebuttal necessary. Rebuttal was done in the project proponent's initial delivery. We will close the public hearing. Commissioners, questions?
I kind of have a procedural question. In your proposal, you state that the CCNRs did not include, was not a condition that would prohibit you from presenting this application, correct? There. It says property owners association. There's no property owner association.
There is.
Right. So if there was one, does that mean that the application would stop? You would not go forward with the application?
Oh, no. It would be, you could consider it. We would bring it to your attention and give you that information, but it does not stop the project.
But would you still approve? Would you still recommend it? Recommend approving it?
We recommend approval based on the general plan and the county ordinances. So the homeowners association is a separate issue. That is an agreement between the property owner and the homeowners association,
yeah.
Not a county
yeah.
permitting issue.
Okay. Go ahead.
Any other questions from the commission before I? Okay, I have one. It's going to go your directions. Our discussion several months ago in the finalizing of the housing element, we received back from the contractor recommendations that have gone before the supervisors on densities. Does this project surpass the density for that region?
No.
Okay. Any other questions?
Are you ready for a motion, sir?
I am ready for a motion.
I move that we adopt resolution PC 2024-009, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, approving the Peterson use permit UP-24-02 and determine the project exempt from CEQA.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Commissioner Veal seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same. Let the record show, unanimous. Project is approved and may move forward to the supervisors. Next item, New business, agenda item number 2, Grenada Properties Zone Change, Z2304, and tentative parcel map TPM 2303. Is this you again, Bernadette?
It's me, because Rachel couldn't be here today, so I'm
spotlight's going. Back on you.
Great. All right. Bernadette Sisson, associate planner. Mike Burstein is requesting approval of a zone change of 2.68 acres from town center commercial to light industrial. Additionally, Mr. Burstein is requesting approval of a tentative parcel map to divide the existing 6.35 acre parcel into two parcels of 3.67 and 2.68 acres. This project is proposed in order to facilitate the potential use of one of the parcels for a mini storage facility. The existing zoning of town center commercial is not proposed to change for the proposed parcel that is already developed with the Grenada Gardens Senior Living Facility. The project site is within the unincorporated community of Grenada, west of Interstate 5 and between A-12 and Shasta Boulevard. Directly adjacent parcels are zoned for commercial highway, rural residential agricultural, and prime agricultural uses. Within less than 1,000 feet, there are also light industrial and neighborhood commercial zone properties. Environmental health, CAL FIRE, Fish and Wildlife, and the Grenada Sanitary District and Public Works all commented on this project. As a result of their comments, conditions of approval were added to the project that required the approved area for on-site septic to be shown on the recorded map and the trespass on the county road by the construction of a wall and miscellaneous improvements be resolved prior to map recordation. No comments from members of the public have been received regarding this project. The project is consistent with the Subdivision Map Act, general plan, and zoning for its area. Should the rezone portion of this project be approved. Because there is no substantial evidence that the proposed zone change and tentative parcel map may have a significant effect on the environment, staff is recommending that this project be found exempt from CEQA pursuant to the common sense exemption section 15061B3 and the existing facilities exemption section 15301 as the project site is already partially developed. Staff recommends adopting PC 2024-008 to conditionally approve the tentative parcel map portion of the project and recommend that the Board of Supervisors determine the project exempt from CEQA and approve the zone change. There is a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
Further input from county? Okay. Questions of staff at this time from the commission?
With the new general plan coming out, would you still include a parcel such as this as prime ag? Or would that clean that up with the new general plan?
No parcels part of this project are zoned prime ag. There's adjacent property that's prime ag.
Across the road. On the other side of the road next to the surrounding school.
Okay, this, but it says prime ag.
Yeah.
So it's a parking lot.
Okay, any other questions of staff at this time?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll open the public hearing. Any additional input from the project proponent? I have one, so we'll take support first. Any additional support? I have opposition. You oppose the project?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, so, it is his project.
He supports it.
It is. Oh, I'm sorry.
You checked oppose.
Sorry.
You have me a bit confused here, sir. Okay, so.
First time being in it.
I'll tell you what. So, since Janine's going to potentially put these in, I am eliminating the opposition check mark, and I'm putting a support check mark. Now that you may step up, name, address, please, and go ahead.
Okay, so good morning, everyone.
Can you step up to the mic?
Yeah. My name is Mike Burstein, and from Grenada Gardens Senior Living. The address is 424 Highway 12, Grenada, California. And I'm here to answer any questions if you have regarding the project. Sure.
Thank you. Anyone here in opposition? legitimate opposition? Let the record show none present. No rebuttal necessary. We'll close the public hearing. Back to the commission. Questions? None from Mr. Veal. None from Mr. Hart. Tony? Yes?
No, sir.
No? None from Mr. Mello? I'm quiet on this one also. I'd entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt resolution PC2024-008, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, conditionally approving the Grenada Properties tentative parcel map, TPM-23-03, and recommending that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors determine the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act and approve the Grenada Properties Zone Change Z-23-04 by adopting a draft ordinance rezoning 2.6 acres from C-C to M-M.
Now, we're going to treat the TPM separately, correct? Or do we do it in one motion? Motion did not refer to the TPM.
Yeah. Well, within the resolution itself, there's a conditional approval of the TPM. So I think when we approve the resolution, you're going to conditionally approve the TPM depending on the zone change.
Okay. So we do not need to include the TPM within the motion?
No, because it's within the resolution.
Okay.
I'm okay.
I'm just making sure we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's.
It's a fair question.
Okay. Do I hear a second to Commissioner Mello's motion?
I'll second.
Commissioner Veal seconds. Any further discussion? This is a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mello?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Fowle?
Yes. And Commissioner Lindler is absent. The project is approved. Let the record show it was unanimous. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Next item, 4, discussion direction, staff report on the GP.
Thank you, Haley Lane, Planning Director. Just a quick update. We had a TAC meeting a few weeks ago, to clarify, the TAC is the department heads, within the county to look at the final administrative, background report. And so the consultant team took in comments from the department heads then, and then they are finalizing the document, and I will be meeting with the team in a few weeks to schedule out when the report would be a good time to bring forward to the Planning Commission. So we're going to go over some dates in the next few weeks to schedule that. So that will be, kind of the first deliverable piece that you all will see regarding a general plan update.
All right. Any questions for Ms. Lyne?
Just from my own knowledge, who's paying for all this? The county? Is the state helping?
Nope, it's the county.
It's all on us.
County paid.
And by the time it gets done, it'll be obsolete.
Hopefully not.
I hopefully not also. Been down this road before.
Uh-huh.
No, at the city level. When it is completed, we'll be starting it over again.
Thank you. That's what I mean.
We'll be good for another 20, 25 years, hopefully. Yeah.
And by the time it gets done, it might be 15, 20 years.
Yeah, right. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Ms. Lyne on the general plan update?
No.
Definitely. All right. Number 5, miscellaneous future meeting. Next meeting is scheduled for May 15th. So staff is aware I may not be here on the 15th. It all depends how the baseball playoff schedules align. If we have a game that day, I guarantee you I will not be here.
Okay. Can you give me a heads up if you know that ahead?
I will, but I will not know for certain until 4 o'clock on May 11th.
Okay. Okay, that's plenty.
That's when the schedule.
Well, I'll still send you everything, but it's just good to know ahead that if we're going to have a quorum or not, you know.
Anyone else here have an issue on the 15th or potential conflicts?
Too far yet.
Too far. My wife has my schedule done all the way through the end of the year. I'm scheduled into next February already.
I don't take any schedules after 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Of today.
Of the existing day.
The existing day.
Okay. Good on you.
And through the chair, I just wanted to remind about the June meeting. We have to move the date. And I think we all agreed that June 26th, the following Wednesday, would work. Is that still true?
At
this point.
I know you don't know for sure.
Yeah.
So you were going to be at
on the 26th. I'm good on the 26th.
Mm. Yeah, Danielle told me had said before that she would not be there, so we know she won't. But if we have the rest of you,
She has a meeting or something going
back east.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start the process. Well,
I
may
be
start this early,
but hopefully we have first done by then. But I'll be here.
Okay. I haven't started the process to set up a special meeting just because it's too soon, but I just want to touch base. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Correspondence. Oh, joy, Mr. Jim Williamson. Regarding Timber Hitch, haven't heard that name in a while. Update on the Timber Hitch wreck.
I have just a little quick what happened. So basically, Mr. Williamson sent us an email with concerns because we had determined the Timber Hitch mine closed. Reclamation took place regarding removal of equipment, grading, and seeding. And we responded with the letter that you have, just reiterating that the site's closed. So this is also a follow-up with the State Mining and Geology Board, which they recommended that when we do respond to Mr. Williamson, we include both DMR, Department of Mine Reclamation, State Mining and Geology Board, Board of Supervisors, Planning Commission, and the supervisor for the district. So that is what we're doing.
Okay. I'm glad it was nothing more than what we'd already received.
So is water considered a mineral?
Department of Mines and Resources?
I said, is water, is that considered a mineral?
No.
In
water
ice form,
is water.
It's a composition.
It is two elements, hydrogen and oxygen.
What's got minerals in it?
It has minerals in it. Yeah, it's a carrier of minerals.
Because the previous owner has the right to the minerals, right? Isn't that what was the fellow's name?
We're closed.
Yes.
Next comment, Mr. Dean. We're not going down this rabbit hole again, Dusty.
I'm not curious why he's so concerned.
Mr. Dean, your hand was up.
Yeah, for information regarding Timber Hitch, which may arise, Mr. Williamson's concern is that the well out there was not destroyed. It's tied to basically the deed mineral rights. Whoever has an ownership of that has the right to have water out there to operate. That should be opened in the future. It was not part of the reclamation plan as responded to by the day. So he indicated that he may show up here today to have that conversation.
Okay.
So you're aware of it.
Commission comments. Mr. Veal?
No.
Mr. Mello?
No, sir.
Mr. Hart?
Since we're talking about water, drilling ag wells, where are we at?
We have the guidelines draft for County Council for review to bring back to the board for resolution. That said, it's not going to address everything entirely. I'm still working on getting an ordinance that identifies public trust doctrine areas. And Dr. Harder's team is working on developing those boundaries this time.
Is there any provision in there for the ability to exchange a surface right for a well? so far away from the stream corridor?
In a sense, there is if you can demonstrate that there's zero net impact or zero net additional irrigation.
What are the guidelines to determine that?
Say again?
What are the guidelines to determine that?
To be in resolution form, we looked at Sonoma County, and they have provisions for that in their ordinance. So we think.
So how many PhDs do you have to hire to determine whether or not that well is connected to a water course? I think
we boil it down to net use, whether surface or water from the well. Right? So.
So if there's no connection of a well to the stream course, then what?
And you have to have a surface water right to use the water.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
So whatever.
What I'm asking is if you got decreed water rights certain times of the year, when it would be beneficial to leave that water in stream for aquatic species, to then go and explore and look for a well, there's no guarantee you're going to find a well in the Shasta Valley anywhere. Mm-hmm. If you do find water, the net conservation benefit of that water being in stream for protected species, you're leaving that there, you should be able to drill a well to replace that water on farm.
Assuming that you're in the public trust zone area, mm-hmm. we'd have to make a determination that it's not going to have an impact to stream flow. And once that is determined, then we could proceed with issuing a well permit.
So back to the Kidder Creek project, the gentleman that was hired by the project proponent to do that analysis on that well, was a licensed geologist who used to work for the state.
Right.
He would be someone or someone with that type of background, education, and licenses you would have to hire to come in and make that determination.
Yeah.
And then if you do go through all of that steps, then comes back, is it a ministerial permit?
No.
Or does it have to come all the way through the Planning Commission to grant whether or not you can drill a well?
I don't know that it has to go through the Planning Commission, but it's definitely a discretionary permit. And
would it go through the SGMA process?
Would have to be determined by the GSA to be consistent with the GSP.
Could that determination change from year to year, depending on the wet year versus the...
It's a question for Mr.
In the Shasta Valley, that's anybody's best guess at this point, because nobody knows where the water's coming from or where it's going to other than the Big Springs complex, period. And they still are not sure where is it exactly coming from. Is it coming from Grass Lake and all that big plateau up there? Is it coming from the plateau, that Military Pass Road, all the way to McLeod? Because there's a huge plateau up there. Is it coming off glaciers on Mount Shasta? Yeah. Nobody's answered that question. Yeah. Well, I had Larry Walker out on and his crew out on the ranch taking water samples last week out of wells and compare what we did 5 years ago. Just to try and...
Can they identify its origin by taking a water sample?
Well, yeah, you can identify it, absolutely. Get isotopes test on it.
We're doing that in Scott Valley right now. Have been doing that.
Right, and so you're going to have to do an awful lot of scientific research to understand what the geology of the Shasta Valley, where water's coming from, where it's going to, what impact it has on Shasta.
Through the chair.
Yes.
A number of years ago, there was a study. They hired a lady, they hired a person to to do a study in the four basins in the county, the four or five. Did they not? Water for water?
That was the beginning of the Sigma process.
I don't know about it.
He's got the Scotch and Shasta, the Butte, and then the little one down in South County. And we have a GSP and GSA for the Scotch and the Shasta done. Butte Valley is in negotiation.
Her name is Nielsen, Elizabeth Nielsen. That was her, she was hired for that.
It's now Matt Parker. Nielsen's still with the county, but Parker's the Sigma person.
Did we get any results?
Oh yeah, the plan's already done for Shasta and done for Scott. Already approved by the state.
Good. And so, how does this affect the questions that are being asked now? I mean,
they're all connected.
Why am I not surprised?
No, because the GSAs are gonna, within that resolution, are gonna play a major role in approval of potential new wells, as well as in the Scott, if State Water Resource ends up setting a minimum flow standard on the Scott, that the Scott GSA and GSP are going to be crucial in actions to take to maintain those flows, I presume.
Yeah, as long as the executive order is in place, then the flood district has, the GSA has the responsibility to deem any new well, production well, compatible with the GSP.
That's going to be interesting how the two, I'm just looking at the two GSPs right now. Shasta, state said, no, we're not going to set minimum flows, so they're kind of out of the spotlight for the moment. Well, on the Scott, some of us have been encouraging State Water to have conversations with the Scott GSA and look at the GSP for the Scott as they move forward on establishing those minimum flows and actions that may or may not be necessary to attain them. I don't know if those conversations will happen, but they've got a lot of egg on their face right now with the e-regs. I would hope that there's some incentive to have that talk.
You said an executive order? How can you do an executive order in something that's so crucial to this state as water?
Look who we have as a governor.
Yeah,
hope your questions answered.
I don't talk like that.
It's my understanding you have one landowner who's been in the process to try to get a permit to drill a well for a couple of years now.
Is it an ag well?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
What's the hang-up? Why is it taking so long to get that done? Because it's one of those where you can't leave people hanging. They got to have some certainty in what's going to happen. This has been dragging on way too long.
Yes.
Agreed.
What's that? I've stumped you, I can see that.
That's a no comment.
I guess that's my question, is when somebody comes in your door, especially if you've got backings from the environmental crowd, Native American crowd, agency crowd, saying, yeah, this is a good idea to do this on this property. Yet we come right back to the county and then we're hung up in bureaucracy. When protected species can't wait for bureaucracy. So that's why I'm asking about time frame, process. How do you expedite this stuff without spending $1 million with attorneys fighting and arguing and trying to get something done? I've asked this question before, where we've gone along and people just drill wells and all of a sudden you've had a well that's been in there since 1950. They come in here in 1990 and drill a well, and they go down another 100 feet and they dry you up. Wait a minute. There's an obvious connection. So the 1950 well should have a legal right to go down at the same level, because water's going to find its equilibrium level out there.
Yeah.
Nobody's given me any good answer on this, other than we don't know. Well,
I can just tell you what's in process. So Mr. Phelps and I sat down with a lot of his work, and we revised the draft for the permitting guidelines to allow under documentation the net zero conversation. Right. So you have a well, it's gone dry. We already got through the process, heard the governor's order to make the determination that deepening that well will not affect adjacent wells. So that's one piece. It's been achieved in that situation.
Okay, before you continue there, though, the scenario that Blair brings up, you had a younger well get punched in the ground that dried this one up.
Yeah.
How can you hold the older well to the standard of no net effect on a neighbor when they were the ones that received the net negative effect?
Right,
that's the problem.
Right.
The one that dried up should have every legal ability to go deeper to at least be on equal footing.
Right.
It's called contiguous use.
Right.
It just goes back to their historic use that they had in place. Right.
So does that mean
they said approved that they're not going to add additional acreage, so to speak, for irrigation?
Right.
Okay.
But does that mean then that the younger well's got to decrease his pumping so that the groundwater level comes back up to where my existing well is?
That's all correlated right conversation. There's been several cases on that.
Allowing the surface water irrigation, it's the water temperature of the Shasta River that determines that. Is that right?
That's one component.
They're looking at flow. They're looking at habitat for fish to rear in over summer. They're looking at the whole picture, which is basically put the river back into production.
Yeah.
Well, they're.
But the temperature could be adequate in Shasta River, but not in the Klamath River.
It's adequate in the Shasta River, south of the A-12 bridge. North of the A-12 bridge, it's not. That's why we have a TMDL, which is total maximum daily load, where we've got it for dissolved oxygen, for temperature, and they're trying to force in nutrient loading and sediment on top of that. And you look at what's going on in the main stem. I didn't know how to address that, other than the whole push here is to put the Klamath River system back into its full production capacity for fish because of the impact of Klamath. The fish in the Klamath go clear to Monterey, they go clear to Portland. It's that whole West Coast fishery. And this is a one river system that they can put back into pretty much full production over time because there isn't the industrialization that goes on in the Columbia, goes on in the Delta.
Scott and the Shasta are being used to mitigate the potential negative of the Klamath, which is why there's such a focus on flows, etc.
But the dams were one way to affect the temperature of the Klamath, and now there's no control of that temperature, correct?
Could have been if they'd had cold water releases
at
the bottom of those dams, but they didn't have those structures in place.
Yeah.
They do in Shasta Dam, where they can release water out of the bottom of the lake down the Sacramento River.
They do in the Trinity, too.
They do in Trinity. But,
so Iron Gate still is, the dam is still there, right?
And I was up there Saturday. Yeah. Yes, the dam is still there.
Yeah.
But there's no water behind the dam.
Yes, but the release is going through the turbine, where the turbine is retired.
I don't know.
Yes, I don't know what they've done there.
All I know is the river was up, you know, it wasn't You know, there's islands in the river that have been there. I used to fish that thing when I was a kid. I got more miles on that thing than I do on my car. But anyway, it just, Klamath Lake is huge, but it's shallow.
Yeah, nutrient heavy.
That's right. Yeah. And so, what's going to happen to the Tule Lake Basin for water? What's going to happen downriver when all these dams are gone?
It's already happening. Water table's dropping in Tule.
Exactly. And then they're worried about the fish. If the fish can't get up here to spawn, duh.
Any other commission comments?
Thank you, sir.
Welcome, Mr. Phelps, to the crew.
Thank you,
sir. Look forward to seeing you. This commissioner meeting is adjourned.